I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. We seem to complain about salespeople. They're either pushy or selling you stuff you don't need. A new book from someone who's worked in sales is a great read for those in sales and those thinking about getting into the trade. For the rest of us, it's a great insight into how we're being sold and a great way to understand the salesperson's work and perhaps get us better products and services at the same time. The book is called Shut Up, Stop Talking, and Start Making Money. Its author, Dave Warawa, has had a lot of experience in sales as a salesman, a manager, and now as a consultant. I'll get him to tell us about this book, why he wrote it, and the tips that a salesperson will need to succeed to earn repeat business and more. Puget Sound Radio will be hosting a free webinar with Dave Wednesday, the 4th of February at noon Pacific. Log on to Puget Sound Radio for more information on how to sign up. Also, check out Dave's site at prosalesguide.ca. On how to get the book and more. Please welcome to the Plant Online program in Comox, British Columbia today, Dave Warawa. Mr. Warawa, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Joseph.
So you've been in sales pretty much most of your adult career, is that correct?
I would say so. You know, I started my initial career right out of high school as a radio announcer. Mm-hmm. And for 6 years, I didn't realize I was in sales. However, I was, because I realized later that I was selling to the intangible audience. And I think that most of the people listening to this, whether your occupation is sales, you are in sales, and the difference between the two is the fact, do you receive a check based on commission, or do you receive salary? Mm-hmm. But you know what? We all have to be able to sell our ideas, our passions, our feelings, whether it's to convince our significant other to go see the movie that we would like to see, or whether we're trying to sell our ideas at the office, or if we're trying to entice someone to buy our product and service, I think the rules of engagement are pretty much the same.
Yeah. So do you think anybody could be a salesperson?
I think so. You know what? There's some basic rules. You know, there's always the perpetual discussion about are salespeople born or are they created? Mm-hmm. Is it nature or is it nurture? And I think the truth probably lies somewhere between the two. I think there are some people that are probably more apt to pick up the sales skill. But the first thing you need to have to be a successful salesperson is to have passion. You have to believe in what you're doing. And I do think that most people have that ability, because everyone right now would be able to sit back and say, what do I really believe in? What do I have such passion for that I've told so many people, my friends, my colleagues, my family, about something which has influenced them to potentially buy that product or service? We call that the referral. Well, guess what? You're in sales.
Yeah. And I mean, if one looks at one's day, the first person you're selling to is yourself, really. I mean, to convince yourself to do something or to go get something or even to buy something that one might need.
I totally agree. Yeah. I think the very first person that you do convince is the person you look at in the mirror every day to say, okay, what do I wish to do? And, you know, I think we've all suffered from, there's a good example, Joseph, I like to use is procrastination.
Uh-huh.
And I truly feel that procrastination is a conscious decision to not do something.
Yeah.
So, you see, when we make that decision about what passions do we have, we're more likely to be more enthusiastic about telling people about it. And we do have to sell ourselves. I mean, we have to sell ourselves to say, what am I going to do with my day? Am I going to accomplish something? We choose to work where we have our passions. We choose to live where we feel it's the right decision to make. So we are all salespeople, most definitely.
Yeah, and that leads to happiness, confidence, and the sort. You know, you lead your day a little bit better, I guess, if you're able to sell yourself something good. In the book, one of the first lessons that you give is that a salesperson ought to read more, and that doesn't apply just to people in sales, but people in general. I mean, I happen to be a proponent of that. And so why have you found that important to the salesperson to read more?
I think it's a vital step, as you say, Joseph, for everyone to be able to learn to gain insight. I think for salespeople, there is no direct connection. Let me put it this way, and this may be a little bit of a interesting statement for some people to listen to. There is no direct connection necessarily between a degree and the ability to sell. However, being educated, there is a definite connection to being able to sell. And the idea of education and self-taught with reading, there are so many great books that are out there. There are so many great blogs that are out there. I mean, these days, no one can really say, well, yeah, I can't afford to do that. You could go to a book fair and pick up, in fact, I just did that last week, and picked up a book that was written in 2001, which would now make it 14 years old. And I'm reading the book going, I'm writing, running out of highlighter to highlight all the points that I think are great. So I think for salespeople, as for all of us, look at it this way, Joseph. If we seek medical advice, we go to a doctor. We expect the doctor to be educated, not just by having some degree of authenticity, but at the same time, to be self-taught, to be constantly up to date with current trends and medicines and what's happening in their field. Why should we expect anything different from professional salespeople?
Right. Yeah. So one of the things that I got out of reading your book, Shut Up, Stop Talking and Start Making Money, is the importance of sales in our life, because we tend to think that the salesperson is pushy, persistent. You have a whole list in the book of some of the negative traits that you know, a peddler, slick, aggressive, and we tend to think of sales as annoying or unnecessary. And even if we tend to be anti-consumer at times, we tend to think we know how to get rid of, you know, the annoyance in our life. So I tend to think that this negative feeling comes from salespeople that aren't good. So what are they doing wrong, and how can the salesperson overcome sort of the negative traits, the stigma with regards to their work?
I think it's, first of all, realizing the stigma that does exist out there. It's quite interesting. You refer to some negative terms, mm-hmm. and I can recall a couple of years ago writing on my blog and asking people, what's the first word that comes to mind when you think of the word salesperson? And the words that come back are, for the most part, never positive. They are peddler, slick, greasy. They're evil. I've had the word evil come up, dishonest, all those things. And I think the stigma of sales being negative is unfortunate, but I think it exists because most of us, all of us, let's be frank, have had negative experiences in dealing with salespeople. And I think those salespeople, for whatever reasons, maybe they were never trained properly. Maybe they were taught this, that the ABCs of sales are always be closing. In fact, there's an infamous movie, Joseph.
Yeah.
Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross with mm-hmm. Alec Baldwin. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it
before. Yeah, David Mamet, yep.
There you go. And Alec Baldwin is a sales trainer that is hired to come in and talk to a group of realtors. And he says the ABCs of sales are always be closing. He's forceful, he's rude, he breaks just about every law that you could think about respect in the workplace.
Yeah.
He berates people and says you must always be closing. And I think for those of us who are successful in the sales industry and believe in consultative selling, the ABCs of sales are always be connecting. It's connecting with people, connecting with current clients. It's taking no one for granted. It really goes back, I think, to the intent of the salesperson. And I think this is why the stigma is alive and doing so well, being negative, is because most people feel that the job of the salesperson is to sell you a product or service that you don't want or need. Well, what a horrible occupation,
mm-hmm.
if that's the perspective. Here's the infamous story as well. We've heard this one many, many, many times. I've been asked this question. So, Dave, you're in sales. Yes, I am. How would you sell ice to an Eskimo? And here's my first question when I hear that, Joseph. Why would you?
Yeah.
Why would you travel to the Arctic Circle to sell ice to an Eskimo? You see, right there at the very heart of that is, but that's the job of a good salesperson. And I ask this question, so tell me more about that. Well, it's your job to sell products and services to people who don't want them or need them because you're so darn good at what you do. No, it's not. My job as a professional salesperson is to source out people who are interested in buying a product or service, educate them to make the best decision, and this way, that's the basis of repeat business and referrals. Yeah. It's really not rocket science. It's pretty common sense.
Yeah. So did you find when you're talking to salespeople and helping them in their work, that you can teach, say, authenticity or sincerity?
I think to a large part it needs to be there. However, sometimes, admittedly, when I'm training people, I have to perhaps dig down a bit deep. Because the first look that I usually get from someone is to say, okay, hang on, so you're talking about integrity and ethics. Yes, of course, that's the basis of all successful sales. Mm-hmm. Even though Hollywood thinks, you know, that the Wolf of Wall Street is what sales is supposed to be all about.
Yeah.
There's this preoccupation with dishonesty and deceit and doing just about anything to make a sale and make a buck. But the essence of consultative selling is to find out what are the needs of the client, to find out, okay, how can I best help you today? So I think intrinsically, it's first of all to say to salespeople, how do you perceive your job? And I often will ask this question of them, is to say, what's the one word that you wish for your personal branding? And they say, what do you mean by personal branding? What do you wish to be known for? What's the one word? And different people will come up with different things. So for me, when I was confronted with that, I said, resourceful. I wish to be resourceful. So my job is to educate people, to put the best information in front of them to make the best decision. Hence, everyone wants to make the best decision. So really, with some salespeople who say, you know what, I'm not so sure I'm cut out for this, it's probably a disconnection between what they were taught sales is about, what even potentially their sales manager told them what sales was about, and what they truly think it is from their own perspective.
Yeah. And do you find if the negative salespersons that we encounter, that they can improve? And how do you know if sales isn't the right thing for you, I guess? I mean, that's something that I'm sure people listening to us who may be struggling with their work in sales, or that's why they're listening to this or wanting to buy a book like yours.
Mm-hmm.
Not every job is for everybody. So when does one know that sales isn't for them?
Great question. I think for all of us, I think back to when I was a radio announcer for the first 6-7 years of my career, and if someone would have said to me, Joseph, Dave, you're going to be a sales trainer, I would have laughed. I would have rolled on the floor in tears. I wouldn't have visualized myself as a sales manager, let alone a salesperson, because of the stigma that was alive and doing well in my perception. Here's what changed. Is for me, one day, I realized that there were certain sales tendencies and techniques that I was using in my job, whether I had been a reporter, whether I had been even trying to negotiate a salary increase with my news director,
yeah.
Who one day said to me, Dave, I've put you in for a 3% pay increase. And it was 1%, 2%, and 3%. And I thanked him, and I said, wonderful. So I figured it out. I grabbed the calculator. I took my current salary, multiplied it, added 3% on top of that, and said, so this is what I'm going to be making. And I had that incredulous look on my face, and he said, yeah, you know, I got to fill out a special form for that. I said, well, how does anyone expect me to make a living doing this properly and being able to, you know, save for the future and have a great career? And he said, Dave, the sales department's constantly looking for people. Maybe you should apply there.
Mm-hmm.
And I even then didn't realize I was a salesperson. But I think for most people who are wondering, is sales for me? Do you have the ability to be convincing? Can you persuade people on specific things that you're passionate about? That's the first step. And I think most of us are capable of doing that. But the salespeople who are having the challenges right now and saying, I'm not sure if this is the right industry for me. And believe me, I was there because I've done so many different things. The key is to find the right fit for the salesperson, to find not only the right product or service that they believe in, step one. Step two, are you working for the right company? Do you believe in the direction that the company is going with and going in that general direction? And there's another really important ingredient, and for all the salespeople and sales managers that might be listening today, it's suitability and fit with your sales manager as a salesperson. Do you respect your sales manager? Can that person be a mentor to you? Can you see the ability of wanting to work with that person for years to come and learn from them in that sense? You see, I think success in the career of sales is really, by far, it is most definitely a journey. It's not a destination, which goes right back to the idea of constant reading. Because the most successful salespeople I've encountered in my entire career are the ones that have a consistent commitment to improvement. That's the big difference, because they want to get better. They may not want to get better at closing people.
Uh-huh.
They want to get better at helping people, because they're actually very, very nice people.
Now, the people that become sales managers, I guess not every salesperson can become a manager or want to become a manager, but is there a special skill set, say, that a sales manager has to move up in that role?
Joseph, great question. I can recall this so vividly. After being a salesperson for about 6 or 7 years and having very good success, of course, just like a lot of salespeople, are approached by their employer and said, look, we wish to promote you into sales management. And most salespeople say, well, why wouldn't I want to go there? That makes perfect sense. This is, you know, the advancement of my career. And when this occurred to me, I literally was in the job for 3 weeks. I went to my senior director of sales, and I said, I don't understand this job. Like, this is totally different than selling. And he chuckled, because I simply said, so tell me where the manual is on this. I can't get my head around this job, and I'll explain. The job of the successful salesperson is to work with a number of potential customers and current customers, to multitask, to be able to do a transaction with them based on needs analysis and timing and all sorts of different ingredients. The successful salesperson is really almost like an entrepreneur, but more so maybe an intrapreneur, where they have all the skills and talents to be able to put everything together, write up a proposal depending on if they're business to business or business to consumer, but they can make things happen. They automatically learn by and far to be very leery of delegation, because when they delegate things to other people, there's a tendency of them being disappointed because it wasn't handled properly, which means they have to explain it to the client. So they can actually appear to have some characteristics that may not be very appealing internally to some of the companies that they work for in that sense. So suddenly they go into sales management, and the key to sales management is delegation. Mm. It's team building. It's now being the coach, not just being the player who put the puck in the net 50 times per year. It's coaching the third line, the second line, the first line, to be able to know how to put the puck in the net, to say, what did you learn from that experience? It's a very, very different skill set.
Well, what about the social media is all around us, Twitter, Facebook, and other forms of social media, obviously. The salesperson, how do they use the Internet in what they're doing? I mean, is it key that they have to be on Twitter?
You know, that's interesting field, because there are so many salespeople these days that are asking that question. The first comment I really want to stress to anyone who is in the sales profession listening to this, there will never be a replacement for a face-to-face appointment. Face-to-face, or even the ability to talk to someone through a telephone line, will never be replaced, because that's the engagement, that's the relationship that gets developed there. So it's important to know before you start out in social media, please don't think that LinkedIn, Twitter, blogging, YouTube, Facebook, Foursquare, what have you, will be a replacement for face-to-face appointments or cold calling and prospecting. And a number of the social media platforms will make that claim. In my experience, there will always be a future for prospecting and cold calling and face-to-face appointments. That said, social media can be extremely effective, and here's how, Joseph. Every salesperson needs to be representing a product or service from a company that has proper imaging. So that company, whether it be, let's see, a car dealership or a retail outlet or no matter what it may be, that company has to market itself and have a good image through its marketing and its advertising to be well received by the public. Now, personal branding goes back to the salesperson. So once I'm convinced that your product or service is worth consideration, why would I pick you? Why would I choose to want to even do business with you? So personal branding is a very important part of that decision to buy the product or service. As I've always said, when someone decides to purchase what you have to offer, they're actually making two purchases. The first one is you. They are saying, you are worthy of doing business with because I like you. I have rapport with you. I trust you. Trust is the most essential ingredient to any purchase. And if you don't trust the salesperson, you will not buy that product or service. You will go elsewhere, most definitely. So where social media comes in, through some forums like LinkedIn, specifically for business-to-business salespeople, it gives them the opportunity of branding and setting themselves apart from the competition.
This makes a lot of sense, not just for the salesperson, because there are people who tend to eschew social media, but it has its uses, and it can be, as you say, a stepping stone to greater personal contact. There's so many other things in the book, and urge people to pick it up because it is a very interesting read. In terms of what the customer wants, we all, I guess, want a lower price for things, but you found that they want something more than that. That value isn't just the price, right?
Yeah. When I talk to salespeople and the companies that use our services, and I ask them, what is the number one objection that your sales force encounters? Very often, it's the price objection. And that makes perfect sense, because most of us always want to pay the lowest price.
Yeah.
But I will tell you something that might seem a little strange. It really has little to do with price. It seems like it has lots to do with price. It has everything to do with value. Because it's not what you pay for something. It's what you pay that is relative to what you get. Because if it was all about, Joseph, just what you pay, would we not then go out and brag about the wonderful deal we got on a piece of junk?
Right.
Nobody wants to buy junk. So you see, it's not about what you pay. It's what you get for what you pay. So imagine, if you will, if price is lower than value, we proceed with the purchase. Why? It makes sense. We get bang for buck. When the price exceeds the value, we say it's too expensive. And this is the mistake that most business owners and salespeople and retail in general make. What they decide to do in that situation is reduce the price. Well, why not keep the price there and increase the value of the experience?
Exactly. Yeah. The other thing that is marvelous advice, and not just for the salesperson, but for everyone, is not to take rejection personally. And as a salesperson, I'm sure you've been rejected many times. So how do you overcome that?
It's knowing that when somebody says no, they're using one word to really say this: I'm not interested in what you have to offer at this given point in time. Far too many words, Joseph.
Yeah.
People will simply say no. When I sold life insurance door-to-door many years ago, I had lots of doors slam in my face. Please understand one thing, that when people say no to you, it's based on timing. That timing could change literally within 24 to 48 hours. The environment that they said no to you could change because something has caused it to change. And this is one of the things where, unfortunately, salespeople fall short, where they don't follow up properly. They say, okay, I will give you a call in a couple of weeks, and they call back maybe 2 months later. So the idea is to have the passion to be able to service people properly and build a relationship with them where you're following them up on a constant basis.
Yeah, and I guess your gift as a salesperson is not to appear pushy or annoying or just a pest. And that's what separates, say, a good, and this goes back to the beginning of the interview, this goes back, you know, this is what separates a good salesperson from a bad one.
Very much so.
Yeah.
You know what it is more than anything? I think sometimes where I try to really help salespeople who have lots of passion, let's imagine a salesperson who really has so much passion for the product or service because they've purchased the product or service before they even decided to apply for a sales job there. And they think, I really love this particular brand of automobile. So if I could sell that automobile, I think it would be quite easy for me because I'd have the belief and the passion to do so, which is a very important ingredient. But here's where things get kind of haywire and wires get crossed. When you get passionate about something, what do you tend to do? You tend to talk about it.
Yeah.
And you continue to talk and talk and talk and talk, hence what the customer's thinking, for God's sake, just shut up for a second.
Yeah.
Don't try sell me. And these are why the five skills that are talked about in the book that come from 30 years of experience have done very well for me.
Yeah.
And the very first is ask great questions. Instead of talking so much as a salesperson, ask great questions because the person who asks the questions gains the insight. So as you ask those great questions, you are doing, really, what is the essence of consultative selling. You're trying to best understand your customer, where they were, where they are today, what their needs, what their desires are. In the book, there's a story many, many years ago of my experience buying a all-wheel drive SUV. And the salesperson I encountered had asked me probably 22 to 25 different questions in a fashion that he did such a great job, it didn't feel like it was a grand inquisition. He was trying to understand what my needs were. So step one, ask great questions. Step two, actively listen. Actively listening is not waiting for a break in the conversation to make your point.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this happen so many times when I go out in field support. The prospect or the client makes an opinion or says something, and the salesperson, so passionate, interrupts the client and says this, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, I apologize, but I really want to get a point across. Well, if we're trying to get the client to open up, maybe interrupting them is not a good idea. So actively listening is really trying to understand where the person's coming from based on not just the words they use, but the emotions that they express. So there is no agenda at that point to sell, because we're not even sure we can help. The agenda is to understand, because we ask great questions and we actively listen. And as we listen, if we sit there and nod our head and give the signs of reassurance, the customer will tell us more and more and more. And I say this all the time, Joseph, the greatest skill on this planet is the ability to listen, not to talk.
Yeah.
It's the great listeners that really make the impact. And then the third skill, which is such an art, it's the toughest one of the five skills, and it's paraphrasing. The ability to repeat back to that person what you heard them say in your words. To fully understand what they said, to get that clarity of conversation to say, if I understand you correctly, what you're saying is this. Let's see if I'm on the right track. Here's what I think I hear you saying. And you're sitting and you're getting that message across and you're waiting for that confirmation. And that confirmation will usually come from someone looking at you, nodding their head, starting to smile, saying, this is a different salesperson. He's asking me questions, he's listening to what I have to say, and he's repeating back to me pretty much what I just said to him with the same feelings and emotions that are there. And then the fourth skill in a complex needs analysis situation is the ability to master the paraphrase in a total summary. So if I understand you correctly, we're looking at, as an example, there would be three or four needs that a customer has. You're looking for this, that, and this. Am I on the right track? Mm. And they usually nod and look at you again and go, you're absolutely on the right track. Rapport has been established. Trust is developing. There may be the opportunity to help the customer. And the fifth is very simple. It's personality projection. We are not operating on someone. We are not putting man on the moon. We are simply communicating and exchanging information so we can have fun, smile, and enjoy the process.
Yeah, people listening to us who want more, obviously should pick up the book and ought to. This webinar, this is with Puget Sound Radio. This is free for people, right?
Yeah, it's totally free of charge, and it's my opportunity to not only tell people more so about the five skills, the dissertation I just gave you. I'd like to really assist people because I think the stigma is out there, the negative stigma. And I want to give people the opportunity to understand not just the salespeople that are out there, but I say this to everyone who might be listening who is not a salesperson. If you encounter salespeople who are pushy, arrogant, and are trying to sell you something you don't want to buy, then you should very naturally gravitate away from them. But when you find people who are doing it the right way, who are asking you those questions and listening in that process, you wish to engage with them. In fact, you want to give them your business. You want to tell all your friends to go see them at that point because you want them to be successful. So the purpose of the seminar is to give people an understanding of what those five skills are all about. And it's been quite interesting. Since the book's been out, I've had a number of different people come to me and say, you know, those five skills you've talked about, those are wonderful conflict resolution skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said, that makes perfect sense. Because, you see, in a conflict, instead of trying to impress upon someone why we're right, maybe we should find the basis of why they think they're right. And they are, Joseph, entitled to feel the way they do.
Yeah.
Because it's their feelings.
Exactly, yeah.
And, in fact, some people have said to me, those five skills are the basis of good reporting. And I say, that makes sense. Look at Barbara Walters, the incredible interviews that she did. She employed all five skills. But she may not know, have actually known, what the skills were.
Mm-hmm.
We call that her personality, her style, her charisma. She had her guests admit to things in front of a camera that they hardly admitted to themselves.
Yeah. Well, this has been such a fascinating chat, Dave, and as I said, a rather insightful book, and I hope it does well for you, and that a lot of people do pick it up, because they'll find something of interest, regardless of whether they are in sales or not, as I did. Thanks for your time today, Dave, and all the best.
Thank you, Joseph.
The book is called Shut Up, Stop Talking, and Start Making Money. The website to get the book and for more is prosalesguide.ca. The free webinar is Wednesday, the 4th of February at noon Pacific. Visit PugetSoundRadio.com for that. Dave Warawa joined me on the line from Comox in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plantum.